Hi everyone, welcome back to Triplicity. We're your three astro besties, me, Deja, Jared, and John, chat about all things related to astrology, and we spill the tea. really excited for today's episode.
The way that you introduced it, it sounded like you were like, we're your three besties, me, Deja, Jared, and John. And it sounds like there's four people.
Four of us.
You, the listener. The listener
the
is
listener. The first.
So I represent true. You.
Welcome back to another thrilling episode here at Triplicity. I feel like we should start numbering the episodes.
I agree.
We should. And I can go back and I can retro number them.
I'm going to look at what number this is.
While 9, maybe? 10?
No, it has to be more than that.
I was like, no, I feel, yeah, it's like maybe it's like 12.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I used to number them, but then I forgot and lost count.
This is episode 14.
Wow.
Episode
numerology
14.
Numerology babes, that's a 5.
That's
I don't know what that means. I know nothing about numerology.
One of my I have this coworker. She's incredible. She's like 60 years old. She's like from Portugal. She does not give a fuck. And
wait,
she comes up to me the other day. 60
or 6? I'm sorry.
60. She's 60. Okay.
All right, that makes more sense.
And she's like, "John, what's this angel numbers bullshit?" And I was like, "Exactly." I don't want to dox her and say her name, but I was like, exactly. I don't fucking know. And she was like, oh, like you don't? And I was like, no, like I know what they are, but it's not real. And she was like, oh, okay. Makes sense. Seemed fake. I was like, yeah. Thank you.
I'm screaming.
So what are we going to do in this episode? What's happening, John? What's happening to us?
I'm going to make Deja and Jared bare their souls to you all and go through not like a full Jyotish reading, but like we're going to cover like the very basics and like the little interesting things that I see in their charts because I passed my class.
Yay!
Yay! I passed my class. Hopefully year two runs and enough people sign up for it and we can do it. So I'm gonna use the skills that I have learned to look at the charts of these two people that I know very, very well. So it'll be cool to show people how we can understand the Hellenistic and tropical zodiac while simultaneously understanding that there's a separate zodiac with separate rules and it all works.
Different systems. Hell yeah.
Hell fuck yeah.
So what's happened since our last conversation? So our last conversation was live on Twitter. And it's funny that like since our last one was on Twitter, Twitter is just like just a becoming a dumpster fire.
So sad. Yeah. Elon Musk brought Twitter. Officially
bought
or received a loan large enough to accumulate the digital asset that is Twitter, but he has to pay that back. And for the record, Twitter has been losing money for the past 2 years. So this whole $8 a month for a blue check, which is probably going to go up, is simply for Twitter trying to make money back, but that's not probably going to work. So we'll see how that works out. Yeah.
There's like this weird mix of like checks that are paid, checks that are the people who were like identity verified by Twitter because it was like deemed necessary. There's like no like real meaning to the check anymore. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's like the true
it means
account.
You have $8 a month to give to
yeah,
Twitter.
Literally
and a credit card like
and like yeah and a bank account maybe
like a PayPal account and
yeah, like it would be PayPal. Isn't that what Musk did? Wasn't he PayPal?
Was he?
I don't know. Like the CEO?
Did he like start PayPal?
I feel like he started like the earlier. Musk co-founded online bank X.com, which merged with Cofinity to form PayPal, and then eBay bought PayPal. Yeah.
Wow. eBay owns PayPal?
Yeah.
Then who owns eBay? Sorry.
eBay is a public, publicly traded entity. eBay is eBay.
Wow.
And eBay, PayPal, Craigslist, Skype, StubHub, and Q10 are all like previous subsidiaries and investments of eBay.
Wow.
Interesting.
That's really
But funny. PayPal diverged from eBay in 2015 as its own company. So it's not PayPal anymore.
Gotcha. It's not eBay anymore?
Yeah. It's just PayPal.
Good for them.
Truly.
They deserve.
Yeah, I mean, this is just somebody who, like, is kind of being held to the coals for trolling, is, like, what's happened to Elon Musk, is, like, he was trolling and made this, like, troll deal for Twitter, and then people were like, no, you actually, like, that's a deal, like, you made a sale, like, and now you have to follow through with it.
you own it, baby.
So, you know, that's fun to watch. Yeah, it's also interesting that, like, then there was, like, this massive layoffs at Twitter.
Then
we also had massive layoffs at Meta.
Yeah. We talked about this in the first... Oh, mm-hmm. no. It was in the whole... We did a whole Eclipse thing, and we were, like, accurate for all of them, and we definitely talked about Meta. I remember this.
We did talk about Meta.
Zuckerberg, and we were like, this is definitely going to be important, and it wasn't the first time around.
But it was this time.
Yeah. And what's interesting is this lunar eclipse that was at 15, after 15 Taurus. Mark Zuckerberg has Venus at 15 Taurus. Facebook has a lot in Aquarius. Facebook has the sun at 15 Aquarius.
It's a notable return or reversal for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yep.
So it's hitting the charts pretty heavily. But I also thought it was interesting that I think this like Mercury superior conjunction, South Node Kazemi thing that we had, and we see like all these tech workers getting laid off, and like that being part of the Kazemi story. And then you've all heard me talk about the nodes at length, with the planetary nodes, but like the fact that Mercury was moving south across the ecliptic, and kind of this, again, this releasing of something mercurial. And it's the releasing of tech workers from their jobs.
Yeah. That's so sad. And that's a lot. I feel like that's been happening a lot in the tech industry in general. I've been seeing a lot of people have been getting laid off and fired. It's scary out there.
Yeah. Advertising revenue isn't what it used to be.
Yeah. No. Interesting. Well, Twitter, sad face.
Twitter. I'm assuming if you're listening to this podcast, you probably use Twitter because why wouldn't
it's a dumpster Twitter? Fire, but I love it.
Yeah,
truly,
yeah, but I love
entertaining.
100%. 100%.
By the time this goes up, if you check our podcast Twitter at Triplicity Pod, there should be all the information for our upcoming event, the Weed Circle, that will be happening Friday, November 18th at 9 p.m. Eastern time. There should be a Google form to us. You literally just, it's going to say, what is your email address? And you're going to give us your email address. And then about 10 minutes before the event starts, you're going to get a Zoom link from me with the event link.
And we won't sign you up for a newsletter without your consent.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, there will be two questions. It will say, what is your email and are you interested in receiving further notifications from the Triplicity podcast? And we will honor all no's. We will not take personal offense.
Nope. I'm excited. It's going to be so fun.
I'm excited to just rant and be high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The space will not be recorded to give it... I don't know, I feel like when things aren't recorded, people are allowed to be more authentic in some circumstances. And that's what we want. We want your true, harsh, real feelings.
That's right. Spill the tea.
Spill the tea. But also, if you are taking too long, we will mute you. Jared will mute you, specifically.
Jared is waiting to mute you.
And you're all going to learn about my moon Saturn today.
The rest.
We will learn about the moon Saturn today.
All right. Is it time to start?
I think so. Yes. Do we have any more like announcements? Or...
yeah.
This is going to be a listen to it at 2x speed.
Yelling. Truly. Oh, also follow us on Instagram at Triplicity. Yeah. And this is actually good because in the inevitable downfall of Twitter,
right?
Join us on Instagram. Yes.
And maybe someday Tumblr.
And maybe.
Oh my
God. I don't know.
Triplicity Tumblr? That sounds like messy.
That sounds really bad.
You can make a triplicity TikTok.
We could.
No, I hate you. I don't. No, that was a joke. Please do not think I'm being serious. It's just the name was too good to pass up.
I'm yelling. We'll see.
All right.
I'm ready.
Ready.
Let's rock and roll.
Okay, so we are going to say a quick mantra to get in like the right headspace, which will be cut from this, and then we will get started. Okay, so Jared has, I don't know if it was volunteered to go first, but...
I'm the cardinal rising.
Jared's the cardinal rising. Jared's going to go first. So Jared, your ascendant is still in Cancer and sidereal because it's so late in tropical Cancer. So your first house is pretty packed. It's got the moon and K2 in it. And it's receiving aspects from Rahu and Saturn because they're casting seventh house aspects onto the ascendant. Because you have at least two malefics basically like attacking this moon in your first, the moon is what's considered to be cursed. So if I were to, or like when I prescribe, it sounds really bad, but it's really just like things that you did in a past life are like coming back to haunt you but it's happening to your moon. I have a cursed Venus in the division that it's in my chart. Like I either like betrayed my spouse or like probably killed them or like something really, really shit with the spouse I did.
The drama.
Yeah, and I'm definitely paying for it now. So yes, moon. The moon would be a planet that we are going to prescribe remedies to at the end if that's something you're interested in. But that was kind of like the first thing that I noticed about your chart was you have the ascendant ruler in the ascendant, but it's cursed. So the ascendant ruler is the moon. The ascendant is kind of what we're, and its lord are like what we're consciously like thinking about, whereas the moon is like where we are like headed to. There's a more like feeling based element to the moon, whereas with the ascendant it's like this is what I'm like actively looking at. But those happen to both be the moon for you, which is nice. So those things are like lining up. You've got the moon in domicile, which is really great. Yes, it does have that harsh curse, but it's in domicile not only in the Rashi chart, but also in the D9, the Navamsha chart. You have it in Cancer still. So it shows that this on like a soul level, because the D9 is like the soul, the chart of the soul almost. On a soul level, like the moon is in Cancer for a reason. So like a lot of your lifetime is going to be spent learning about this moon in Cancer. Because you were born on a Monday, the moon also ruled it's your Vara Lord. It rules the day you were born, and the Vara Lord shows the physical constitution. So your physical constitution is going to be very lunar, and because you have multiple curses, generally malefic aspects indicate like thinness and like, yeah, you're a lanky boy, as we know.
My name is Bella Hadid.
Belling.
And yeah, it's Cancer, it's cardinal, it's water, it's like things that's got to work with our feelings, and the way it does it is very fast. Rajasic, cardinal signs, it's got this fast, changeable energy to it. Your Atmakarka is Mercury, and the Atmakarka is the planet at the highest degree. So you have Mercury at 21 degrees of Aries, making it your Atmakarka. So the Atmakarka is the soul significator. It's the planet that you came into this life to like take on the mission of and like learn the most about. Things relating to the Atmakarka in the D9 chart show us things connected to like our spirituality and like deities that are like chosen deities or specific kinds of deities that are like we chose before we incarnated to like work with us the most in this lifetime, which is really, really interesting. And it's my favorite thing to talk about. So we'll get there when we do the D9 in depth.
Yay.
But Mercury is like very, the significations are similar. It's quick-witted. It's the like trickster idea of Mercury is still there, but in a way that it is just like more so changeable and like you never kind of know what Mercury is going to do. Mercury is actually a benefic in Vedic, but will take on the qualities of it's like inherently a benefic, but if it's with a malefic or in a malefic sign, so Aries, Scorpio, Capricorn, Aquarius, it's going to take on a more malefic quality. So your Mercury in your chart, because it is with the sun, it is combust, and it is in a malefic sign, is going to take on a more malefic quality. This Mercury sun in the 10th in Aries is a super, super cool yoga. What is the name? So when you have the sun and Mercury together in any sign, it's a Buddha Ditya yoga, which literally is just like Mercury sun. As one word, Buddha Ditya. And it shows someone who's like very concerned with speech and the way that we talk about like a Mercury Kazemi almost in Hellenistic of like emphasizing these qualities or whatever. But when this yoga is formed in either of the planet's exaltation, so Aries or Virgo, it becomes this like, I think it's called a Vyasa yoga, if I'm not mistaken. And Vyasa is one of the great sages who like carried the information of the Vedas. I think it was the Vedas when it didn't have like a physical copy. Like he just like remembered all of it. And like he was the one that someone transcribed the Vedas from. So it's got this, I always say that it's like a super, when I see people with this one, it's like you're a super good researcher, like not even keeping receipts, but like keeping information organized. And like it really, really emphasizes that Mercury quality of just like I want it all to be like permanent. It makes Mercury want to be permanent in ways that Mercury does not normally like, I would say.
Is that like in my experience, I have like I'm a lot of like I do remember, and I actually remember like when we first met, John, like talking about like the quality of fixed Mercury in our tropical charts as being like just kind of you always remember everything. And it's funny because like it's that same thought here, and it's very much like when I think about when you were talking about it being in a malefic sign, I was thinking about how like my organization, if like you were to try to go into my information, would maybe you'd be like, where is this? But like I know where everything is
exactly.
And, like even like today, Deja, you texted us and you were like, by any chance do either of you have this like random recording from a year ago? And I was like, actually I do.
Yeah. That was wild.
so I actually embodied that today.
Truly. Yeah.
As soon as I saw that in your sidereal chart, I was like, oh, yep, I would say that's the most like defining part of your chart in my eyes, but also because it's also got the Aruta Lagna there, the AL, which is, I always tell people that the way that like the modern girls are like, the rising is the mask and like how people see you, but not like really how you are. That's the Aruta Lagna. That's what that is. It is, you basically count from the ascendant to its lord and then count again from the lord. And that's where the sign goes. So if your ascendant lord is in the third, your Aruta Lagna is in the fifth, because third from the third is the fifth. Except for when the ascendant lord is angular to the house, in which case it goes to either 10th or fourth from. So because you have the ascendant lord in the ascendant, it goes to the 10th house, the Aruta Lagna. So that sun Mercury Yeah, that I think it's Vyasa Yoga. It's either Vyasa or Pandita, and I don't remember which one it is. But that Sun, Mercury, and Aries in the Aruda Lagna is like why that is so obvious. It's because like it is what people see when they first like see you. Is this like your like sorcerer spreadsheet or spreadsheet sorcerer quality? Like that's why.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. I love that.
That's very true.
And another fun yoga that you have from the Aruda Lagna is if you have only benefics in the third and sixth from the Aruda Lagna, it is called a sadhu yoga, which is like a saintly yoga. And it means that people are like always going to think that you have like the best intentions. Whether that is like actually the case is irrelevant.
I'm yelling. But it's
going to appear because you have Jupiter third from the Aruda Lagna and nothing sixth from. That you are like this, like saintly, like giving. Do you have a comment, or do you want to move on?
You're not wrong.
Yelling.
And I mean, like, yeah, it's like, and I think, like, growing up, there, like, I did get away with a lot where, like, people just did, yes, like, assume that, like, that I, like, didn't mean to be bad. Mm-hmm. Like, that I wasn't, like, actually bad. It was just, like, misbehaving for some reason.
It's just like, acting out. It's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so there was, like, that kind of thought. Yeah. Just, like, for sure. Yeah.
And I mean, like, what's interesting is that, like, from the Aruda Lagna, the Jupiter is third, but, like, in the natal chart, Jupiter is in the 12th. So the Jupiter that you're seeing in relation to the natal chart is, like, very different. Is how, like, when I think about the Aruda Lagna, I'm like, how is this, like, you've got Venus 12th from the Aruda Lagna, which means that people are going to perceive that you lose and spend lots of money on, like, I mean, what you actually do, like art and antiques and like things that are beautiful.
And like, why are you buying a cursed clown?
Right, exactly. But then the Jupiter and the 12th from the actual Lagna is going to be like, no, what you actually spend on is like things to make me wise and things to grow and things like astrology things, because Jupiter is very much the astrology planet in Vedic.
Cute.
Venus is still exalted in the 9th. Venus is in one of the best positions in your chart. I feel like in Western astrology, we really emphasize the angles of the chart, but in Vedic, it's much more so emphasize the trines. Like, the trines are the most auspicious places. Whereas I feel like in Hellenistic, we think that the angles are the most benefic, maybe. I don't know. But in Vedic, it is like explicitly stated that the angles and their rulers are, sorry, the trines and their rulers are going to yield the most positive results in the chart. So you have Venus lording, or she's not lording any of the angles, but she's not lording any of the trines, but she's placed in a trine in the 9th. So she's going to be a really, really positive and good planet for you. She does have a Papa Kartri yoga on her, which is when you have malefics on both sides. Because if your Sun Mercury was in like Taurus, I would not consider it Papa Kartri, but because Mercury is with a malefic and in a malefic sign, Mercury is definitely malefic. So Venus is being enclosed by the two, basically. But yeah, it's almost like besiegement, kind of like that same idea of like being in between these two planets. But that's not terrible, because Mars is actually a functional benefic for Cancer risings, because he lords the 5th and the 10th. And when you have a planet that rules a trine and an angle, it's going to be a planet that is going to do kind of the best
stuff for you. Yeah.
Yeah. So Cancer risings, that's Mars, because he rules the 5th and 10th.
That makes sense.
So Mars, although it's an inherent malefic, is actually functionally benefic in your chart. And the Sun is exalted. So it could be a lot worse. It's only like a slight Papa Kartri. And I think a simple donation to... whenever I see Mars affecting Venus, I'm like, women of survivors of domestic violence is like a wonderful way to support a Venus that is being harmed by Mars, in my opinion. And then, yes, Mars is that Yogacaraka planet ruling the 5th and 10th, giving all these auspicious results and placed in the 8th. When the Yogacaraka is in the 8th, I believe it generally, and it's like, not afflicted, it's got a Jupiter aspect and it's got a Rahu aspect, so it's kind of middling condition while being functionally benefic, usually guarantees like somewhat of a longer life because the eighth is the place of death and like longevity. And when Mars goes into the eighth, he's almost seen as like a protector of that, because Mars has an eighth house aspect. So the eighth house is a really interesting place for Mars with that idea of like protecting death and fighting against it. And then your Saturn there in Capricorn in the 10th with Rahu. This is like objectively one of like the best yogas that you could have ever. Not that Saturn is with Rahu. That's not so great. But the fact that Saturn is in his own sign and is in an angle. When you have any of the five elemental planets, Mars, Venus, Mercury, Jupiter, and Saturn, placed in their own sign or exalted in an angle is the condition. They get this like huge boost. It's called a Mahapurusha yoga. And I don't remember what that translates to. I think it's like the five great yogas is Mahapurusha yoga because there's five planets that it can happen to. So like the sun and moon, it cannot happen to despite them being in signs that they really like and in angles in your chart. This yoga specifically only applies to the elemental planets. So Saturn, I believe, is called the Shasa Mahapurusha Yoga. Makes someone a great leader, someone that people like to follow, someone that's good at organizing and managing and doing all of these Saturnian tasks that people generally don't like to do.
Been there, doing that.
Doing that. I love people with Saturn on in good signs on angles. Oh, hi, Kitty.
Kitty.
Kitty also might be a manifestation of this Mahapurusha yoga. And then last but not least for kind of cool yogas is you have all of the planets in between Rahu and Ketu. I believe it's either one of them is when like Ketu is leading and one of them is when Rahu is leading, and you have Rahu or Ketu leading because you go zodiacally. And I believe that is Kala Amrita. And the other one is Kalasarpa. I forget which one is which. Anyway, K2 is very, very important for you. Doing any kind of work for K2 because he's kind of like leading your chart is really, really good. Plus you have, when we get to the D9, your K2 is very well placed there. So it's doing any kind of K2 work is not going to harm you. Not that I think it would ever harm somebody, but like when you do Rahu stuff, sometimes you got to be careful. But K2... in a very good place for you. And that will also help the moon stuff because he's one of the planets causing the curse to the moon.
Literally, me being like, maybe I should just go and like live in a monastery for a year.
Yeah,
like,
literally. Yeah,
like just hilarious. Sit in silence for a year.
I mean, and what's going to be really interesting is, I mean, if we look, where's my bar? If we look over here at the, why can't I see this? Oop, please hold. If we look over here at the like the dashas, you'll be entering K2 Mahadasha within the next decade. You have a Mahadasha change. And K2 is one of the shorter ones. It's only 7 years. But that will be really interesting, especially with it being in your ascendant and very well placed in the D9. So when we look at the D9, do you have any, I feel like I'm just like talking at you. Do you have any questions?
No, I love it. It's so interesting. And what I love is like you said at the beginning of this, like there's so much that like as I'm listening to it, you can like, you know, like I know my tropical chart very well. And like this is where like the two systems exist together so well because they like confirm one another.
Yes.
Using like a different toolkit, like we can still achieve kind of the same like similar result.
And it's almost a way to like fact check the other.
Mm-hmm.
Like if something shows, like the thing we're talking about with us having super fixed Mercury's with the sun in tropical, and that now manifesting in your chart as being this Mercury sun yoga in exalted sun territory. Like you're like, yeah. Oh, okay, this is present in both. It shows different ways in both things. The D9. So the D9 is super, super fun. It can almost be read as a standalone chart, but like everything should be considered within the context of the D1, of course. Like how we say the natal promise is the natal promise. But the D9 is like second in command of the natal promise. Any planet that is exalted or fallen in the D9 will override its condition in the D1. So with that being said, the first thing I look at is your Jupiter, and the D9 is in Capricorn. That is an Ucha Bhanga, or Anicca Bhanga? Anicca Bhanga Yoga. Nietzsche, fallen, Bhanga, like change. It changes the planet to being in a state of fallenness. So Jupiter is also, if we look at your Panchanga lords over here on the right, Jupiter rules both your nakshatra and your karana. The Panchanga, the five limbs of time, each planet can be a ruler of any of these five limbs. And if you have one planet ruling two specific ones, it can, so you have the day, the vara, which is fire. You have the tithi, the relationship, which is water. So if one planet rules the fire and the water, those conflict. That's not good. We have to unlink those two things by doing things for that planet. So you have Jupiter ruling both the air, which is the nakshatra, and the earth, which is the karana. So when you have these are really hard problems to remedy because you need like a specific ritual to like fully remedy it. However, there are remedies that you can do at home that are going to not completely unlink it, but are going to do the most in your sphere of influence to kind of do this unlinking. And that is a mantra that we can talk about at the end too, because it's kind of not extensive, but it's not just like saying something 108 times. It's like performing, doing something, and et cetera, et cetera. Saturn.
What are the implications of having that configuration of like earth and air?
It weakens the planet and the houses it lords. And it has an effect on like the nakshatra is the air and like the mental health, and the karana is the earth and like the work and like the it has like this earthy reputation, like 10th house quality to it. So those two things are going to be severely improved once Jupiter remediation is done. And it will also improve the qualities of both your sixth and ninth houses, because Jupiter rules those in the natal chart. But we have the nodes exalted in the D9, which is great. We have Rahu in Rahu in Gemini and K2 in Sagittarius. Signs of exaltation makes them do really well, which is why I'm saying doing K2 things is going to be pretty beneficial for you. And you have Rahu, K2 is good, and Saturn is also good. Saturn is an air sign or an air planet in the seventh, and the air planets like the seventh. So Saturn and K2 stuff going to be really good, especially K2. K2 is also in the fifth of the D9, and planets that are in trine to the ascendant in the D9 or in the ascendant show us skills that we are gifted with in this lifetime. So K2 shows occult studies and like spirituality, and the sun shows musicianship.
Oh.
Which you famously have a music degree. So
famously, have a Bachelor of Arts in Music from state school.
Yeah, you've got the sun in the first of the D9 that shows someone who like is very naturally gifted at music. I also, in my experience personally, I have the sun in the seventh of the D9, and it's casting an aspect to the first. So I would also say planets that aspect the first give skills, which in your circumstance would be Mars, because it's in the seventh, and Mars shows metalsmithing. It shows activities that involve heat and fire and flame. Math. Is math Mars? Or is math K2? I think math might be K2, actually.
I learned math K2 from Austin.
K2 is... There's like Mars K2 and Rahu with like math versus like science versus like computer tech stuff. Yeah, it's like, so I'm like
geometry versus trigonometry.
Yeah, like, exactly. I'm like, it's math. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Your chart also shows you being very gay. Planets that are entrined to the seventh show sexuality things, and you have Mercury, which is a neutral. So the sun, Jupiter, Rahu, and K2 are masculine. The moon, Venus are feminine, and Mercury, Saturn are neutral. Okay. So when you have neutral planets placed in this trines to the seventh, that usually shows queerness. Or Rahu, because Rahu is like eccentricity, and because it is the co-lord of Aquarius, all of these things that we associate with Aquarius being like weird and different and
like Uranus.
Whoa. It's so funny how that works.
Yeah,
any of you that think that Uranus is the ruler of Aquarius, please Google the myth of Varaha, V-A-R-A-H-A, the boar incarnation of Vishnu, who is the Rahu incarnation of Vishnu, and tell me that is literally not Aquarius. Thank you. Get back to me on that. Yes, and you have Mars there in the seventh, which is going to show a partner that is like pretty active and pretty into Mars movement-based things. Now we get to the super, super fun part where we talk about all the deities that are in your chart. So that also is basically found in the D9 as well, because the D9 is very connected to the soul and things of that nature. Once I can find the chart that I need. The cool thing about my Geotis tradition, which I actually probably should have talked about in the beginning, is that remedies that we prescribe, as long as like I said, I would prescribe to you moon, then Jupiter, then Venus remedies in that order, probably. Mm-hmm. But moon remedies you can do to Chandra, who is the Vedic moon. You can do them to Selene. You can do them to any it's regardless of pantheon, as long as you are remedying that like energy, which is I know a word that we don't like love to use.
Energy.
But the lunar concept and like the lunar deity, as long as you are worshiping and propitiating that way, it will work regardless of like what actual expression of that energy you want to use. Is how I will describe it.
Nice. Moon gonna moon. The moon is gonna moon, regardless of what you call her.
Regardless of what you call it. Thank you. So the first cool deity is the Ishta Devata, which is the chosen deity. And this is the deity that usually we worship the Vishnu incarnation. But like I said, regardless of pantheon, it works. And this is going to be, if you are doing any kind of like, not like soul searching, but like wanting to find out what deity your soul wanted to connect to the most. Because like I said, the Amakarka is, or this it concerns the Amakarka, which is very connected to the soul. You look to this deity and it is the 12th from the Amakarka in the D9. So Mercury is your Amakarka in Libra in the D9. 12th realm is going to be Virgo. So actually it's Mercury because Mercury rules Virgo. if there's planets in the sign, you take those before you take the Lord. But because your Virgo is empty in the D9, you take Mercury, who's Buddha in the Vedic pantheon. But, you know, Hermes, Mercury, Loki, any of these Mercury incarnations are going to bring you like a very strong like opening your third eye, basically, is what I always tell people, which also has a connotation, but like in the Vedic context of what your third eye is and like that idea. that one is fun. And then another one that I really like is the Palana Devata, which is like a deity that's supposed to like nourish you. So you're only supposed to worship like feminine incarnations of this deity. When I was doing my client's practicum, this happened to be Mars for her. And I was like, oh, female incarnations of Mars. And I was like, oh, Athena, duh. Yeah. Like similar idea, which was cool to think about. The Palana Devata, the caregiver deity, it's sixth from the, so yours is going to be actually Saturn. So female incarnations of Saturn, that would be, Kali is a deity that takes a careful approach too. Any female Saturnian.
Yeah, like Demeter.
Yes, exactly. That's a good one. Saturn is actually a hard one to think about feminine deities for. Other than like Kali, that's the only one that comes to mind.
Hera? Question mark.
Is Hera Saturnian? Yeah.
I feel like Hera is very like Saturn Aquarius.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I guess Hera could work.
Yeah.
For some reason, I think Hestia too as being a Saturnian, but that could just be me.
Yeah, in the way that they like Hestia first before anybody else.
You're right. So yeah, that is
Lady
that is a fun one. Yeah, Lady Saturn. I mean, could also be Lady Jupiter.
Is my incarnation of Saturn.
Hey, what's up?
I mean, you have Jupiter and Saturn there, but because Jupiter is in the sign of its fall, I'm saying the stronger one is probably going to be the one that prevails. And we can talk about timing. We don't have to talk about timing. You can ask about past events. You can ask about future events, or we can go to Daisha, whatever you feel, or you can ask about whatever.
Tell me if you were to look at like past events, is there like a specific time period that like jumped out as like, ooh, something important happened like around this time?
I mean, so when the way that I keep forgetting that I have to like explain these things to people because they don't know what I'm talking about. The main timing technique in the Vedic, at least my tradition, is the Vimshottari Dasha. It takes the position of the moon at birth, starts in a nakshatra with a planet that lords it, and you follow the order of nakshatra lords. But the moon, the percentage of the first, it's not like, so Jared was born, his moon is in Punarvasu nakshatra, which is a Jupiter nakshatra. Jupiter normally gives 16 years in his dasha. But because Jared was born so close to the moon moving out of Punarvasu, it only has about like the last decan, or not even decan, the last 10% of the sign to move through. He only gets that last 10% of Jupiter dasha. It's actually closer to 9%, so it's a year and a half. So you were only in this Jupiter period on the first level for 1.5 years. So you're not even, you spent most of your life really only in these two dasha periods, being Saturn from when you were 1.5, and then Mercury when you were 20.5. Saturn is the second longest at 19 years. Mercury is 17 years. K2 is 7. Venus is 20. Venus is the longest, which I think is interesting. The sun is 6, which is the shortest. The moon is 10. Mars is also 7. And then Rahu, I believe, is 17 or 18. I think it's 18. And that's the order that it goes. Jupiter, Saturn, Mercury, K2, Venus, sun, moon, Mars, Rahu.
So when looking at this, you would look at that like 20.5, like what happened around there? Is that?
Yes,
like,
and that's going to be the main level change. You can also, like ZR, break it into many other sublevels. I think the tradition says that you can go up to like 6 levels and literally like to the hour, check the dasha changes. Which obviously not there yet. But we look at the top two levels as being kind of the most important. You've got the main planet and the supporter, a la Ferdaria, a la like circumambulation of the bounds. Like you have a planet that is leading and a planet that is second in command. Mm-hmm. We look at those two planets and act as though they are conjunct. And any yoga that is formed by their conjunction or is present in the natal chart becomes hyper-emphasized. So the first thing that comes to my mind is this Mercury period, starting around the beginning of 2017 when you were in the Mercury Sun, and that yoga was really, really activated with those two planets on the top two levels. And it was basically for all of 2017. Mm-hmm. What significant events pertaining to that yoga and what we talked about kind of transpired throughout that year?
I mean, yeah, that was the year. So that was like my last year in Kansas City. So that was the year I would have taken over a different shift at work, right at like probably March of that year. And then like a friend of mine wanted to move to Denver. And so my husband and I were like, yeah, like that sounds fun. We've talked about wanting to leave Kansas City. Like, let's do it. And so that year is when I got the job with the airline. Mm-hmm. I didn't start it until the following year, but I did like, I started the interviewing, mm-hmm. here in 2017. And like, that was like the whole, like making plans to leave the place that I grew up. And
so
also
it was very 10th housey.
Yeah. And it was also like I got, like we went through a remodel. I was working at Kohl's, and was working in the distribution center, and we went through a remodel, and I was like managing through the remodel. Mm-hmm. And when I changed shifts, I took over a team at the same time that we went live with this like brand new process. And it was very that like, Exalted Sun with Mercury kind of feeling where, I was given the technology and tools to like, it was like really, really hard to fail in that situation because no matter how poorly I actually did, the result of what I was giving was going to be just like light years ahead of what it was before simply because we had done this like infrastructure upgrade. And so I got to go into this position and like look really good and not try super hard. Again, coming back to that, like we talked about Jupiter being third and like everybody thought that I like had the best intentions and was like super good. And I was just kind of like, like, oh, it's kind of easy. I'm not trying that hard.
I'll let you think that.
Yeah, exactly. I'll let you think that I'm trying really hard, but like.
So that makes sense that with both of those planets falling in the 10th of the D1, that year is going to be very 10th house focused for you. I'm going to activate that yoga. So that was the one that I looked at. And then, I mean, you were in Saturn for like most of your life.
Mm-hmm.
The Saturn Rahu is probably really interesting. I don't know how much of that you remember. You were 15. It was from 15 to 18, basically, those ages.
4/17/2008 is when I came out to my dad. And that was not a good thing that happened. So
it was right at the end of the Rahu period.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. Nothing saying like I'm the weird one like coming out to your parents and then moving into this Jupiter in the 12th. But like you turned 18 and moved into a period that's ruled by Jupiter in the 12th. Like you were going to move into a period that felt more isolated to begin with because you're activating that Jupiter. And also when you're in the last planet of the first level is called the Mahadasha and the second level is called the Antardasha. When you're in that ninth and last Antardasha planet, you are like culminating all other eight planets in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, from the ages of like 1 to 18, you were in this dasha.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and like, you're someone who is very like mature. And I'm sure that was forced upon you through the lessons of Saturn from the ages of 1 to 18.
Yeah, very much so. And like, really like around then, like 4/18, 4/19 of 2008 is like, after I came out, my parents were like, they made me sign a contract that like, I wouldn't be gay or they would like, not support me anymore. And so yeah, it was like a whole thing. Like,
holy shit. Oh my god, wait.
I mean, we've healed a lot of trauma in my life, so, but like, that's the, you know, it's like, you know, it wasn't a pleasant experience. And that's very and then, and to think about it being like Saturn Rahu to Saturn with like the Jupiter and the condition that Jupiter is in my Vedic chart and my sidereal chart. Like, that makes a lot of sense. Because, like, tropically, when I think about my Jupiter, it's, like, a very, very... It's
fucking iconic, yeah.
Doing great stuff. Yeah.
And this one is absolutely not.
And it makes... and it does make sense that, like, yeah, I've had those kind of experiences. And in my tropical chart, you can see those experiences. And, like, again, coming back to this, like, kind of weaving together of these two philosophies is, like, you can see it in my tropical chart, too. It's just like, it's just in this other place in this chart. Mm-hmm. And the timing times out the same way it does in my tropical chart.
Right. So yeah. Rahu Saturn's going to get you. I mean, you're activating two malefics. Is that Yama Yoga or is that Mars Saturn? It's either Rahu Saturn or Mars Saturn is Yama Yoga, which Yama is the Vedic god of death. I think it's Saturn Mars. I don't think it's Saturn Rahu. I forget what the one that Saturn Rahu is called, but it's not good. bad yoga. All right. My Pisces rising bestie. So yes, you are Pisces rising, still with Saturn in the first though. Saturn is in Pisces, obviously. And there's this idea in Jyotish of sambandha, which is translates to like relationships. And it's just, you think about like the planets and almost like their house relationships to one another, but also like, are they in each other's signs? Are they aspecting each other? Is one aspecting, but one is not aspecting? And just like this level of relationship that the two planets have. And all of us born in 1997, literally, I think it's like late December of 96 to like early January of 98 is when this was in the sidereal zodiac. Jupiter was in Capricorn and Saturn was in Pisces. We would call that a mutual reception. In Jyotish, it's called the Parivartana. And it can happen regardless of, like, you know how in Hellenistic, we're like, oh, they have to see each other. In Jyotish, that is not a thing. Mars in Sagittarius and Jupiter in Scorpio is just as strong of a Parivartana as Mars in Sag and Jupiter in Aries, for example. Those, they're the same level of strength. Does not matter that one is seen by the other.
Gotcha.
So it takes these planets, and when you have this Parivartana, you literally think about them exchanging signs. There's this idea of planetary maturity in Jyotish. Each planet matures at a certain age. And once those maturation ages are complete, it feels as though the planets have actually switched signs. So although we all have this fallen Jupiter in Capricorn, it is very highly mitigated by the fact that Saturn is in exchange in Pisces. This Parivartana, whew, amazing.
Interesting.
Saturn matures after Jupiter, and Saturn does not mature until 32. So it will not be until 2029 that we 1997 babies feel this Parivartana actually happening, which is interesting because it will be after our Saturn returns, probably. It will be immediately after the Saturn return is over.
Interesting.
Yeah, exciting, exciting stuff.
Truly.
But yes, you've got a Pisces rising. It's ruled by Jupiter, which is a sattvic planet, and it's a sattvic sign because it's mutable. Sattva is like balance, bliss, harmony. We have rajas, which are the movable signs, which are almost like too fast. And then we have tamas, which are the fixed signs that are almost too slow. And then we have sattva, which is the mutable signs, and they're right in the middle. They balance all the other signs out. And Pisces is very sattvic because it is a sattvic sign ruled by a sattvic planet. So your outlook on life is just very like, I want to keep it all good and chill. It almost has this like Venus-y quality to it, or like this Libran quality of like, I want to bring balance, or I just want to approach things from a very balanced perspective.
Yeah, I feel that. And I feel like people like, no, I definitely really feel that, but I feel like sometimes I look back and I'm like, I feel so Mars, and like I just feel so malefic, and like, but I feel like it's because of, it's like, that's how I've had to respond. Like, I've had no choice but to learn how to fight back. But right. Like in reality, when I'm like, there's nothing to fight for, or there's no fight happening, I'm like, let's just hang out. Like,
let's just vibe.
Party. Like, so I love that. That's really reassuring. Because sometimes I think I'm an evil person.
No.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. No, you're so good. And you've got Jupiter 11th from Saturn, which is a house of like gain and increase and good fortune, or not necessarily good fortune, but the 11th house is in a grouping of houses called the Upachaya houses, 3, 6, 10, and 11. And they're houses that have this like Saturnian, like they get better with time quality to them. And malefics do very well in those houses, 3, 6, 10, and 11.
Sweet.
So they're houses that you may not feel like the full effects of until later on in life, which is an interesting concept that I don't think there's really a parallel to in Hellenistic. Ruled by Jupiter in the 11th, conjunct Venus and Mars. This Jupiter is actually causing a blessing to Mars. So whereas Jared had three malefics aspecting his moon, you have three benefics aspecting your Mars. So you have this like hyper blessed Mars in your chart, because it's with Jupiter and Venus and is opposite the moon. And every planet casts a seventh house aspect, so the moon is aspecting this Mars as well. So Mars as the lord of both your second and ninth is conjunct your ascendant ruler, which is amazing. When we have multiple planets in a sign to think about which planets are interacting the most with one another, we take the most malefic and the most benefic, and they interact. And then if there's like, so if there's four planets in a sign, the planet that is most benefic interacts the most with the planet that's most malefic. And then those other two do more interacting. So in this, you have Jupiter and Mars doing the most interacting because they're the most benefic and malefic in the sign. And Venus is still with them, but you're going to feel the effects of the other two more so during each other's time periods.
Gotcha.
Jupiter, Mars together, Guru Mangala Yoga, someone who has such drive and passion to like not succeed, but just like do well. And I know like everyone wants to have a good life, but like Jupiter, Mars conjunction people, they will actually work at getting this like life that they desire, especially yeah. placed in the 11th. This idea of like, I know this is very much like a Western thing, but we attribute almost like hopes to the 11th. Mm-hmm. And it does to me have this like very visionary quality to it of like, this is what I want to gain. It is a house of gain. What I want to do, how I want to get there. Very 11th house. So I love this part of your chart. Activating that 5-11 axis with that Jupiter, Venus, Mars, Moon stuff. Despite Jupiter being fallen. It's actually doing pretty well.
Cute. I love that. That's fun. I do hope and wish a lot. Many visions for many things and all aspects of my life.
Because Pisces are delusional.
It's true. That's how I operate best, though. It's truly, if I just live in a constant state of, that's the thing where I feel like astrology is, it's becoming problematic in my life because I'm like, I can't just like walk out the door willy nilly. I can't do that. But I really kind of just want to just fake it till I make it and just let more of the life come at me. And this is, it's the curse of knowing. Sorry.
The curse of knowing. The curse of knowing.
It's okay. Okay. This is cool.
Last thing about Mars, also exalted in Capricorn.
These are all in Capricorn.
Yes, these are all in Capricorn.
Okay, fun. Okay.
Talking about the Panchanga, the calendar, the limbs of time, you actually have two of these blockages happening.
Oh my God.
You have both your Vara and Tithi, so the fire and the water are ruled by Jupiter. And then the Nakshatra and the Karana, the earth and air, are ruled by Mercury. So like I said, pretty extensive actual like ritual and like puja that has to be done. However, the things that you can do in your capacity, mantras to the two planets. There's a special like,
Wait, did you say Jupiter and Mercury?
Jupiter and Mercury. Yes.
That's hilarious. Okay.
Yeah. Isn't it? And it's more interesting because they are your angular lords in this chart.
Interesting.
Because you're mutable rising. Yes.
Right. Oh my God. That's so funny. Two devotions I've had.
Oh, really?
Yes, I guess my Hermes Catonius and Bacchus rituals have been like my longest standing devotional practices. That's absolutely hilarious.
I'm so glad because like I was saying earlier with like curses and planets and stuff, like when you have devotion regardless of pantheon, that's so good. But because this type of problem is like so specific, you need to do like the specific mantra. And you have to, I mean, I don't want to like expose the whole tradition on this podcast. So I will tell you guys after we stop recording, but, you have to say a mantra while you're pouring something on something. And so there's like a whole like process that has to be done. But it's kind of cool.
Sounds cool.
I just love this shit. It's like, I don't know. It's so interesting. Sun is still in Sag up there in the 10th. Sun has directional strength in the 10th. It's his favorite house to be in. Kind of like our concept of house joy for the sun. It's the 10th. Mercury, Atmakaraka as well. So you and Jared both share that Atmakaraka of, Mercury, that being the planet that your soul incarnated to do things with. And you also have yours with the Aruda Lagna Deja. So your Mercury is also very much at the forefront of how people see you and perceive you. We also look at planets angular to the Aruda Lagna as well for things that you're known for. And you have the nodes angular to the Aruda Lagna. So being known for occult and witchy shit and also being known for scandalous behavior, Rahu. Rahu loves the scandal.
It's true. It's true. I accept it.
So Deja and I both have that, right? or Mercury.
You both have Mercury at Makarika, and you both have it with the Arudalagna, yes.
And then we both have the nodes angular to the Arudalagna.
Right? Arudalagna. Yes, yes, you both do.
Wow.
Yes.
Pew, 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 pew.
You both do, yes.
Go us. I feel like that comes through for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to say this about Jared too, but I don't know if he had any planets. Planets ninth from the Arudalagna are planets that are going to protect you and in this lifetime. So for you, it's the moon. Miss
Cute.
Miss
moon. I love that.
Miss Cancer moon. Moon in domicile.
Wow. Oh. Wow. Wow. Wait.
No, actually, no.
This is getting really scary. No, this is getting so scary.
We good?
Yeah, we're okay.
So the moon, this is a good segue to the moon. Moon is in domicile, which she loves. Moon is in the fifth, also loves. Very fortunate house. The moon is, however, what's called Gandanta. And so in the zodiac, we have the 12 signs. In the nakshatra, we have the 27 signs. And there are three points in the zodiac where those two zodiacs both have like a split. So like, for example, when a planet is moving from 29 Aries to 0 Taurus, that's still the same nakshatra. That's still Kritika nakshatra. That's still like, because that nakshatra goes from 26 Aries to like 10 Taurus or something. So although you're transitioning signs in one zodiac, you're not in the other. The three points where they're transitioning in both is where you're moving from water to fire signs. So on the cusp of Cancer to Leo, Scorpio to Sag, and Pisces to Aries. These are called the Gandanta points. And it, what does Freedom say about them? For some reason that like the imagery that I'm remembering is like a knot. And I don't remember like what the significance of the knot is, but I know it's got to do with like things being bound or something.
Interesting.
Gandanta. Nope, that's Grahana. That's different. This is kind of ominous.
Oh.
There are three types of Gandanta in divisions that are given by Parashara. They indicate death during birth, traveling, and auspicious ceremonies like marriage.
Whoa. Okay, that's actually this again. Stop. This is really like hitting some like really scary places right now. That's like a legitimate fear, low key.
Okay.
So
it's okay. We're gonna remedy it.
Holy shit.
This is another one that like there's like an actual like ceremony that you have to like get done, which if you are willing to pay for, I actually would recommend this one because this is probably the biggest issue in your chart, I would say. But there is like lunar things that we can do to remedy that on your end.
Oh, jeez. Okay, wait.
It's not the worst one though. The worst one to have is the Scorpio Sag one. That one's the worst. Ooh. I think Cancer Leo is the least bad.
Mm-mm. Wait, what was it again? It was death during a childbirth.
Death during auspicious things, birth, traveling. Birth, traveling, and other auspicious things. And marriage.
And marriage. Yeah. The dying during birth is definitely real. Like that is a legitimate fear.
I mean, do you want to talk about children?
Sure. Yes. Actually, sure. Why not? Oh, I don't know if it's going to happen. I want it to, but I don't know. They're expensive.
They are expensive. I mean, it looks like if you do, you'll probably have two.
Sounds fitting.
Definitely a boy, and then probably either twins or like a gender ambiguous child.
Cute.
Trying to adapt this shit into like modern day language is like so. you're gonna have a boy, then you're gonna have a fag. Like, I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
You're gonna have a boy and then you're gonna have, you know, one like us.
One of those.
One of the weird ones.
Cool. But this is actually, so this is a similar configuration to what my mother has in her. So this, you have K2 in the way that I'm looking at this first child. The second child for, I'm doing a shortcut it. Second child is this K2 in Gemini in this chart at the right here. And K2 usually shows early death of a child and Gemini shows twins. My mom has this as her first child, which is me. And there was another one of me in the womb that did not make it past like a few months. Holy shit. So you may be in a similar circumstance. That may be the manifestation of this of death during birth. Right.
Interesting. Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa. That's wild. I can manage that. I would prefer to live.
I would prefer to live. Yes. Yeah. I don't blame you.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Okay. Cute.
So yeah, that could be the manifestation of that. But I still would say we're gonna work with this moon to untie the knot.
Definitely.
Amakarka, we talked about. Okay, any other questions about what we talked about? I'm going to talk about some more yogas, although I don't think there were any other big ones that I saw apart from this Jupiter, Mars, Venus one.
I don't think so. I like this chart kind of low key better.
oh my God, duh, I'm an idiot. You have Agaja Keshri Yoga, which I also have. It is when you have the moon and Jupiter angular to each other.
Ooh.
And Gaja Keshri translates to elephant lion.
Ooh.
And it is allegedly, because I've yet to see it fructify for me, but we also have fallen Jupiter, so I think that could be why. It is supposed to be like the yoga of like I get whatever I want. Like it's very it's very much like you attain all that you would like to.
Maybe after 32, yeah. When that Saturn
exactly and beginning, maybe once mm-hmm. the Saturn, the Parivartana switches happens, that yoga will fructify some more a little bit. But yes, we both have this yoga because I have the moon with Jupiter and you have the moon opposite Jupiter. Super cool one, elephant lion. And I've always loved, I know this is super cliche, but I've always been like very into elephants. I also found out that my nakshatra symbol is an elephant tusk. So that's another one, but I've always really liked elephants.
Cool.
What other yogas do we have? Oh, you have a Lakshmi yoga. The Lord of the First and the Ninth are conjunct with this Jupiter and Mars. Lakshmi is a very...
I worked at a restaurant called that.
Called Lakshmi?
That was Lakshmi's Indian Grill.
Ooh, Lakshmi is definitely the route that we're going to take for this moon.
Ooh, okay. They made really good tikka masala. It's amazing. Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh, that's I'm down. For some reasons, it's like the perfect route. Oh my God, you're gonna be fine.
Wild. This is so wild.
Yeah, so it invokes the goddess Lakshmi. She's great. She's like a very like motherly figure. She's Shiva's wife. No, she's Vishnu's wife. Parvati is Shiva's wife. Yes, she's Vishnu's wife. Vishnu is the sustainer. Lakshmi yoga makes someone very spiritual. You're conjoining the first and the ninth. That with the higher self and the higher power makes astrologers, priests, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, that was the other one, the other really cool one. D9 stuff. This is where I want to talk about your birth time. Because using this, we talked about the trines in Jared's chart and showing skills. So in this chart, the birth time that you have, it gives a Scorpio rising D9 with Mercury, Venus, and the moon in the fifth. So those would be the planets of skills, most likely skills that you developed as a young person with it being in the fifth house. And the ninth planets in the ninth house are skills that you usually develop with a teacher. So fifth house, you've got Mercury, Venus, and the moon. So that would show skills relating to those things. The moon, like very motherly skills of caring and like social work is a moon thing. Venus is art, but is also like justice, creativity. Mercury would be skills of the trade, business, etc. However, when we move it to 12, it's like 6-ish minutes later. Sorry, I almost doxed your birth time. it moves Saturn into the first, K2 Sun in the fifth, and Jupiter in the ninth. This feels more accurate to me. However, the only one that I'm not so sold on is the Saturn, because Saturn generally indicates, actually no, because it's in Sagittarius and it's ruled by Jupiter. Saturn usually indicates things of tradition, but you study like traditional astrology and it is a Jupiter ruled Saturn. So I think that could be, usually it's like skill, usually with Saturn and trines people, it's like something that is like a family tradition, but that is also like ancient wording when they didn't have Zoom and the internet. Yeah. So like you can learn traditional skills not from your family now. So I'm thinking that the Saturn could be you liking traditional, and you've always liked like old things, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Like ancient cultures and like things like that.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking the Sun for your like creativity and expressive talent, K2, occult, Jupiter, astrology, and like learning.
Cute. Yep.
This one feels more accurate to me. It also puts Rahu in the 11th. So it puts a queer planet in the 11th.
Yeah. No, that definitely feels more right. I guess I can take care of people and things. It isn't really, mm-hmm. I don't know. I like to talk about it more than like,
yes,
do it. I would rather, yeah, you know.
Yeah, the K2 Sun, yeah, right. The K2 Sun really did it for me in the fifth, being like expressive artistic talent with astrology and things that are not of the tangible, you know?
Yeah. No, that's definitely, that tracks.
So that one feels a little more accurate to me.
Yeah.
And as far as deities go, your like chosen deity would be Mars because it's 12th from the Atmakarika, and your caregiver deity would be Jupiter, like female Jupiter deities. I mean, Jupiter's wife in Vedic, her name is Tara, so that could be an option.
I had a boss named Tara, but
I mean, it's spelled that way, T-A-R-A. I'm trying to think of like Western female interpretations of Jupiter though.
I don't know, actually.
That's something that I would have to think about intently. I mean, my first instinct is to say Hera because she's the wife of Jupiter. Is there like a consort to like Dionysus that could work?
No, it would be like the Maenads are Dionysus's worshippers. But like the nymphs and like there are a lot of like ocean spirits and nymphs and that are children of Zeus that are definitely Jovian.
Like I know Aphrodite like is Venus, obviously, but she's still like there still feels like there's this like Jupiterian quality to her as well that I think could also work.
I think really for me, like I think Hestia is like that sagely Jupiter. Like the idea of like the
And it is Jupiter monastic. So there is this idea of like Jupiter wanting to see and be solar and do astrology.
Love that.
Something to ponder.
Definitely. Cute.
Oh, wait. What? Lakshmi. Yeah. Also.
Very true. Very true.
Because Lakshmi is a deity that like pours out blessings. That's like one of her things, right? Yeah. She like pours them.
Yeah, she's very into Leah. She's like the blessing deity. Yeah,
I love that. That's cool.
Moon Nakshatra, Ashlesha, one of my favorites. It is ruled by the Sarpus, the snake deities, which is why you have the like serpentine eyes that I think are like so alluring. Every Ashlesha person has those. Ashlesha, you're always Looking at things from a perspective of like, what's really going on? Are people being honest? Not necessarily like, how can I benefit from this? But like, do I have an escape plan? Like, how is this benefiting me? There's this really like hesitant nature to Ashleisha's. That's also very like, I think it's one of like the sexiest nakshatras personally. Nakshatra also has a lot to do with how you look. And I just think there's something very alluring about people. And it's ruled by the snake. And I literally think about like the snake charmer. And like that is Ashleisha. Like it is hypnotic. It is alluring. Like you want to know more. It always feels like there's something else to like be learnt about this person with Ashleisha, in my opinion.
It's true though. It's true. People are never what they seem. I've always given that to just having Saturn in the first and me just being like
constantly skeptical.
Yes. But no, I like that. That makes sense. And because the escape part about it, I really appreciate. And I've always wanted a snake somewhere. And I think I really get a snake tattoo, but I want it to be so cool. So we'll see. Stay tuned.
I wonder if.
Sorry.
And I wonder if doing anything with Medusa would be good for you too. Thinking about like the moon being the like the feminine in the sign of the snakes.
That'll be interesting. Because I have an Athena practice, so it'll be interesting.
Ooh, yeah.
To see what that would be like. Things to think about and ponder.
Things to ponder. Okay, and timing. You were because you're Ashleisha. You were born into a Mercury period, but you only had 2 of the 17 years left because you're so close to being at the start of Leo. So you were in K2 from 2000 to 2007, and then in Venus from 2007 to now. Venus is the longest one.
Wow.
Right now you're in Venus Saturn, which you've been in for a few years. It'll actually be changing to Venus Mercury at the start of next year. So in a few months, you change into Venus Mercury. Venus Saturn together is very much like someone who, like I said, when we do the 2 dasha lords, we think about them as being a yoga. And the Venus Saturn yoga is someone who's very connected to like nature spirits and does workings in that way. So connecting to like Mother Earth and things like that during this time period.
Cute.
And then you move into Venus Mercury, which will be interesting because you've got 9th, 11th activation. So I'm curious about how that will be for your like astrology and business stuff and whatnot. We've got Venus ruling the 8th and the 3rd. And Mercury ruling the 7th and the 4th. Placed in the 11th and 9th. I feel like that's going to probably be a lot of focus on your astrology and businessing and stuff.
Okay.
But what else, what did you say?
I was going to ask if I'm moving.
No, because moving is usually 12th house stuff. Although if you do decide to move during the Mercury period, you'll most likely be doing it either during this K2 period because it's in your 12th, Rahu because it rules your 12th, or Saturn because it also rules your 12th.
Interesting.
Yes. Any time periods you want to talk about previously?
I don't know. Are there any that are like the same question as Jared that are...
I'm curious about the ones where you got all this activation in Capricorn. So like the Venus Mars and the Venus Jupiter specifically.
Okay, what years were that?
That was like the beginning of high school.
Oof, yeah.
And then Jupiter was like the middle to end, the middle-ish of college.
Okay. The middle-ish of college, that was, what year was that? Wait, where is this so I can read this?
2017 to 29, here, the orange.
Oh, okay, I see. I met Gabe in 2018, January of 2018.
Oh, and you're in the 2 planets of marriages, Dasha. Okay.
Hilarious. Yeah, I met him in 2018. I had a really good, that was sophomore year, sophomore fall. That was fun. But then the first, that really sucked. What else was going on? I had to get my act together because I wasn't doing that well in school. Mm-hmm. And then was that? No, after that, you said it was 2019. I did give the TED Talk in 2019. So that was towards the end.
That makes sense. 11th house stuff.
Yeah. That was it, I think. Yeah. I started trying to model. It didn't really go anywhere. So,
I mean, well, and right now you're in Jupiter Saturn, which is the yoga. When they're together, it's called Brahma Yoga. And he is with Vishnu and Shiva. They're like the great, the trifecta. Brahma is the creator. And so when you have Jupiter Saturn activation, it's a lot of time of like making and producing things. Yeah. And I think, I mean, that's like basically you've been in that since the end of 2019. And that's really when your astrology has like gotten off the ground, has it not?
Yeah, truly.
And you're like design stuff, literally like creation.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's really true. Holy shit. Oh, wait, but that's been, does that
that's end? That was Venus Saturn.
Oh, I see.
But because like the Saturn, it was the switch from Jupiter to Saturn, and you have the, we have the Jupiter Saturn.
Right.
Gotcha. So gotcha. those are always going to link to each other.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. And then Mercury one.
And then Mercury after. And Mercury, where in Saturn now? Mercury looks like you'll be able to get a lot more money.
Hell yeah. I like the sound of that.
That'll be good.
Cute.
Yeah. Questions? Any other questions?
I don't know. Okay, we talked about who I should be chatting with. No, I don't think so. I think okay. That's it. I really like this. I like this. I like this chart. I kind of like this better, but I don't think I could dedicate the time to like study, but like, I think that this is going to be like a personal, like I get these readings for myself and it's just like my own thing.
Your little thing. Yeah.
It's like a little. Oh, that's sweet. I like this. This is great.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm glad you guys enjoyed.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Put my skills to the test.
Hell yeah.
I'm opening these consults soon. The announcement election is within the next like few weeks.
Hell yeah.
Stay tuned. Book with John.
Stay tuned. We'll go much more in depth. I mean, I spent like half an hour on each of you, but like we will go more in depth with timing and curses and mantras and all those other things than this brief overview that I gave too. I said brief, but like, but yeah.
This is the preview, right?
The preview, exactly.
Well,
everyone come to the weed circle.
Come to the weed circle. Follow us on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Follow us on Twitter as long as Twitter's still open.
We are not paying $8 to get a blue check.
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen.
We're not.
Deja, you had that poll, and I'm like, that's not what I'm here for. Like,
did I have a poll? I
polled you were asked like on Twitter. What are we doing? Like,
oh, yeah. I don't think people are going to realize once they actually start suppressing tweets that do not have a blue check. People are going to be like, oh no, this is, but I'm just curious about when that actually happens. Or when the big migration occurs. I'm just hoping some people just fall off in the fray, which is fine. But thank you all for listening.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.